Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoors, the official podcast of Living the Dream Outdoor Properties. We live by the motto, it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. And we live the outdoor lifestyle every day. Whether you're a landowner or dreaming of joining the ranks of those closest to the earth, we're your brothers and sisters of the outdoors. We hunt, we fish, we're stewards of the land. And our Living the Dream team will show you the way to enjoying the land and all the outdoor pursuits it has to offer. Here's your host, Bill Cooper.
Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Cooper, and today I'm sitting in the office over Living the Dream Outdoor Properties. That's located at Leesburg, Missouri. But here we are in the beautiful Ozarks, and today I'm going to have on the program a longtime friend, Nick Parks. Nick, good to have you on the program, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Bill.
Hey, we actually did a podcast together, wow, many years ago. How long ago has that been?
It's been about 8 years, I believe.
About 8 years.
Yeah.
But it's funny, we keep turning up in the same spots. You know, that 8 years ago, we were working for CNR Outfitters over on the Kansas border. It was quite an operation. That was Ross and Carmen Schatz. And I don't know about you, but I had a pretty good time over there.
That was
kind of a dream place. Of course, there's kind of short-term jobs for us doing PR work and that sort of thing. But, man, what an experience we had there. And here we are 8 years later working for the same organization again.
Yeah, it's pretty wild how things just come around like that.
They do, but nothing wrong with that. I said, hey, good people quite often show up in the same places.
That's right.
Yeah. But, Nick, you've always been an outdoorsman and, of course, Living the Dream Outdoor Properties. Everybody that I've run into them that works for them is, what do you call yourselves, land agents?
A land specialist, yeah.
Land specialists, yeah. But it seems like all the land specialists are all good outdoorsmen.
Yeah, we try to be. As best we can, yeah.
Well, most of them are hunters and fishers and campers and hikers and all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them own properties of their own.
Yeah.
You know, of course, it would be difficult to be in your line of work. You get to see some of the best properties out there. Mm-hmm. So it would be difficult, particularly you young guys, not to try to latch on to one of them.
That's right. Yeah. I think it tends to happen sometimes.
I've seen it happen lots of times. Now, do you own property yourself, Nick?
Not yet. Actually, I had a little bit of property here in Franklin County, but I actually just recently sold it, so I can purchase a home, but I'm always looking, though.
Absolutely. Yep. Of course, I understand you're a newlywed, so that purchasing a home was, I'm sure, on the top of the list.
It all tied together.
Yeah. a wife might have had something to do with that.
That's right. That's right.
Well, you're starting out well. If you've just been married a few months and you're purchasing a home already, hey, you got your heart in the right place, I think. Home's got to be first, you know.
Yep, that's right.
But, Nick, how long have you been working for Living the Dream?
Oh, a little over a year now.
A little over a year.
Yeah, been licensed for a couple years and been with Daryl and the crew for a little over a year now.
Well, what – now, did you have past history in the real estate business or something new to you?
A little bit. Not as far as license, no, but I come from a construction background. So my family, I worked for my father's contracting company, and he bought and sold plenty of homes that I remodeled. So I was kind of like around it, and I've always had a fascination with it. And then I just finally took the jump and I was like, I'm going to get into it.
Well, I think you jumped into a good organization. I think the world of these guys, and of course, when I first hooked up with them, I can't remember, at least a decade ago, I started out Daryl Hyman. Came over to the radio station when I was doing ESPN Outdoor Radio, wanting to be a sponsor. And that's kind of cool when somebody shows up and, you know, wants to be a sponsor for a program you're doing. And we just hit it off right off the bat because Daryl's got such a great heart and great outdoorsman, loves to hunt and fish. Wow, goes all over the world, in fact. Folks, if you ever get a chance to stop by and take a look at this Living Dream Outdoors property here off the Leesburg, Missouri exit, it looks like a museum. He's got mounts from all over the world. I think probably approaching 100 mounts or more now.
Yeah, there's quite a bit in here.
Yeah, but you can see grizzly bears, musk ox, moose, elk, deer, wild turkeys. Mm-hmm. And I actually even took him to Mexico, to Yucatan one time, and killed some oscillated birds.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, that stuff in the corner from Mexico over there. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool stuff. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we hit it off really well. And soon Darryl wanted his own radio program. And a year or two after that, I talked him into going to a podcast. And I think worked really well for us. I love doing these podcasts, mm-hmm. you know. Of course, Darryl originally, right off the bat, tried to get me sealed real estate too.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I said, Darryl, I don't think that'd work. He said, why not? You're a hardworking guy. I said, well, you know, looking at all those beautiful properties and everything, I'd probably be sneaking off fishing all the time. Yeah. I better stick to podcasting.
Yeah, we were at a property a few weeks ago, and it was on, along the Black River. And I was man, I should have brought my fishing pole.
Oh, exactly.
Yep.
And I keep pounding Darryl. I said, you know, I could help you sell these properties so much faster if you just let me do a little PR work. He said, what kind of PR work? I said, just give me the keys to the gate. I can hunt and fish all over their properties. So really make them look good. I've yet to get my first set of keys. You know? I keep chipping away at him, though. I figure he'll have a weak moment one day.
Yeah,
you know?
maybe.
But hasn't happened yet. But you're a year into the real estate business now. What do you think about it, and what do you think about living the dream outdoor properties?
As far as real estate, I'm loving it. It was really humbling, too, though. This is hard. You know, I come from construction. That was hard physically. Mm-hmm. This is hard mentally. Yeah, so it was very humbling. And then as far as coming to live in the dream, that was game changer for me. You know, it's just a great organization, and everything they provide for you, what they teach you, the resources that they give you, it's been game changer. Yep.
I could certainly see that. And I've often thought, man, you know, Darryl made a statement one time. He said, oh, Bill, I wish we could have met 30 or 40 years ago. You know, we could have set the world on fire. I thought I was setting the world on fire anyway. But you know, just great people to work for. And, boy, they've got the right attitude.
Yeah.
But, Nick, I've been blessed and been just intrigued and happy to work with these guys, because I've sold them a little bit of business myself. You know, mm-hmm. Of course, that Lucas sold my home. That's been 3 years ago now, and found us just a perfect little place. I'm old enough and born off along in life, I wanted to downsize. You know, we went from a 4,400 square foot house down to 1,400. And man, was that ever, you talk about game changing. Mm-hmm. But we were ready for that. You know, it was time to downsize and slow down a little bit and not have so much to take care of. And those guys just did a superb job. You know, man, they asked me questions I never thought of before. You know,
yeah,
I mean, they want to know what you really want. I didn't know. I wanted whatever my wife wanted. You know?
Yeah, right.
And Lucas took us at the home just on the edge of Cuba. And we wasn't in that home 2 minutes. My wife says, I want this place. I said, okay, we were the first one to look at it. I think let's make the lady an offer. No, just give her what she wants, because I don't want anybody outbidding us. That was going on. You know? So I might have got a little cheaper on my own, but listen to my dear wife, you know. And are we ever happy with that place? Small home, got three lots with it, and I like the garden. Got a huge garden, and my wife's just made a beautiful little place out of it. She's turned it into a jungle inside, though. She's got over 100 house plants now.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, and she's been gone for 2.5 weeks, and I've been having to take care of them. None of them died yet, so I'm...
You're doing all right.
She's coming home today, I think, and so I'll have a report card soon.
Yeah.
But we love it. But that's the thing about living the dream outdoor properties. Do you know how many states are in now? 5 last I heard, but I know they're expanding.
I believe we're in 6 now for sure. It might be 7. Yeah. Murphy just went out west. So,
Yep.
We're in Wyoming now. So it's
really,
it's,
you sent Murphy out there.
Yep.
That'd be a good place for him.
Yeah. So he started out there, and I believe it's 6 now.
Really?
Yep.
Well, I know you guys are hustlers, and it just amazes me all the time to see see the property listings. I look at that almost every day. Mm-hmm. Of course, see it on the social media. You guys have a huge presence on social media, and I see a really special looking place to me that strikes my fancy. Well, I share that as well, you know. So we're all in cahoots together, I guess you'd say.
Mm-hmm.
But back to what I was talking about, Daryl was saying he wished we'd got together 40 years ago. And I sometimes think what life would have been like if I'd been a real estate agent all along with him, you know?
Yeah.
Again, I might have gotten in trouble for fishing, but, but life has been good to me, and I can't complain, and I get to work with these guys anyway. But just recently, it's been just a few months ago, a lady by the name of Mitzi Payne, her husband passed away several years ago, but had a big, beautiful farm down, not quite in Shannon County, kind of on Dent, Shannon County line, and I used to deer and turkey hunt down there. People, this is a beautiful place. End of a blacktop road down the gravel ways, not gravel driveway.
I've been there, Bill.
Isn't that a beautiful place?
Yeah, it is.
That
yep.
gravel road goes probably a mile down that hogback ridge. Oh, just a gorgeous place. Well, Mitzi got a hold of me. She knew that I had something to do with Living the Dream. I think she thought I sold real estate, you know, but I put her in touch with Hunter, and I understand he listed or got a contract on that place just maybe a couple months ago. But that just tickles me pink when people, you know, that I've met here, there, and yonder will get a hold to me, and then I can pass that on to you guys. And, and hey, everybody's been happy so far.
Yeah.
Great success. Get those places sold. And I don't understand the whole process, and I'd rather fish than learn new processes at this age, you know. But it's always intriguing to get to visit with you guys and talk to you, because there's just constantly things going on, things changing. And the market now, I see you guys still selling property, but I have other real estate friends I go to church with. I hear them moaning and groaning sometimes, you know, things are tough and all that. But I don't know how fast they sell properties, but with a core of men and women you guys got out in the field and hustling the way you do, I think the boss requires that.
Yeah, he does. He does.
I know I see vehicles over here all the time and walk in occasionally. You guys are having classes. So Daryl and his, I'd call him a maintenance crew, I guess, really keep you guys hyped up and on top of things. Mm-hmm. Now, does that serve you well as an agent?
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier is, you know, the resources and the information that Daryl and the crew provide for us is, it's key to be successful in this game.
Yeah. I would say that's absolutely true, no doubt. That's what keeps you ahead of the competition. And there is a lot of competition out there. Seems like everybody and his brother wants to be a real estate agent. And I laugh at that sometimes. I think real estate agents, the young ones really got big dollar signs in their eyes, and that pans out for some people and doesn't pan out as well for others.
Right.
But I think it comes down to training, to dedication, and to people being able to work with people that have decades of experience behind them. Because I think they can see the market trends coming long before, you know, a newbie can. So you can take advantage of all that experience. Well, Nick, man, are you doing this full time?
Yeah, I'm full time now.
Oh,
yeah.
You jumped in with all 4 feet then.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Well, you're committed.
Yeah. Well, you have to be.
Oh, absolutely. But you're used to hard work. If you worked in the construction business, there's nothing easy about that.
Yeah. No, my, blessed to have the father and the parents that I did. You know, my dad taught me a good work ethic, you know, keep moving. Stay busy, and it's the same thing in this game too. You know, you just got to keep moving, you got to keep calling, you got to keep working, build those relationships, and it's really what it's all about is relationships.
Well, you got a great personality. I'm not sure that's not the key thing that Daryl looks for when he's looking for new agents. Got to have the personality, you know,
to go
with it, and he looks for good work ethics as well. I don't know why he hired me, but I like fish. Particularly after I retired, you know. But it is so funny. We actually don't even get to talk that often. I guess there's no need to. I just check in once in a while, make sure he's still going to send me a paycheck, you know. But I think we're both happy with their situation so far. Yeah. He did ask me, I think it was down at the NWTF convention this year. He said, Cooper, when are you going to retire? I thought maybe that was a hint, you know. And I said, well, I'd like to continue this podcast till I'm 80 years old. That's got to be a Guinness World Record, you know. Yeah. You know, 80-year-old podcast.
It might be. You need to look into that.
Well, if it's not, I'll go for 90.
There you go.
The thing about it, is, again, Living the Dream Outdoor Properties. I love their motto. What's their motto?
Oh, remind me, Bill, which motto? We have a couple. Oh, we have a couple. Yeah, which one?
It's not just land. It's a lifestyle.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And
boy, they really live up to that because, well, you know, coming from Parks Recreation and a conservation movement, we all know that everything's associated with the land. And, of course, all of us have had land, lived on the land. I'm an old farmer from way back. Mm-hmm. And land is just near and dear to our hearts. And I don't have much of it anymore. I sold my place, but I still get my fingers in the dirt pretty often. Nick, I've got 130 tomato plants out at my house. So if you need tomatoes, just call me.
Okay.
I'll probably bring them. And I give most of it away. You know, it's just something I love to do. And like to watch things grow, like to make things grow. And my garden's much better this year than it has been. It was beautiful last year. But I've had trouble. I've just been there 3 years, but I'm having trouble raising squash and zucchini. I got zucchini plants 4 foot tall this year, I think.
Really?
Yeah, just the other day took a great big sack of stuff over to the old age. I call it it's senior citizens, not old age center. I don't want to make those old ladies mad at me, you know, but they love it when I bring lots of produce in. And hey, it's just another way to maintain contact with the earth, so to speak. But you and I, we're hunters and fishermen. We like to get out in the outdoors. And I know you used to be quite a bow hunter. Are you still bow hunting?
Oh, yeah.
We got to talk about that in the second half of the program. But that's great, man. I love to see people maintaining their contact with the outdoors. And, of course, it's something I push all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to sell much real estate, but I'm trying to get people into the outdoors. And Living the Dream Outdoor Property has been so gracious over the years to support me in this podcast. And, of course, I try to support them as much as I can, too. You know, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. That's an old philosophy that still works today.
And hey, that's right.
And you guys are absolute geniuses at that program. Well, Nick, man, let's take a short break here. We'll scratch our heads a little bit. We'll come back, and we're going to talk about, in the second half of the program, about getting into the outdoors and what's going on in the outdoors right now.
Our forefathers gave us a Bill of Rights. One of those is the right to step in the front door of Pond Center, where the faint sound of eagles screeching from on high a bounding purple mountain's majesty browls the walls full of glorious firearms. It's hard not to shed a patriotic tear as your red, white, and blue blood becomes fortified by the sight of true freedom. Pond Center, located at 408 Highway 72 East in Rolla, Missouri. Or give us a call at 573-426-GUNS.
Hey everyone, this is Michael Collins with Misty Mountains Guiding Service. I'm here to talk to you a little bit about what we offer. Misty Mountains is a smallmouth and trout-specific guiding service that caters to the northern Ozarks region. My areas include the Upper Merrimack River, the Gasconade, and a few smaller creeks in the Mid-Missouri area. Whether you enjoy casting streamers to bass, drifting a dry fly, or ripping lips with spinning gear, I've got you covered. Fishing is made easy in my state-of-the-art drift boat raft. I control the boat with ease while you or yourself and a buddy do all the work at catching fish. Besides a great day on the water, I provide all needed gear, a delicious shore lunch, and as much fishing knowledge as you can carry with you on the way home. Spots for the 2024 season are going fast. Give me a call or text today to get your trip booked. My number is 573-823-9057. Find me on Facebook and Instagram at Misty Mountains Guiding Service. It's always an adventure with Misty Mountains.
This is Dan from the White Buffalo Fly Shop, your gateway to Missouri's blue ribbon trout streams and world-class smallmouth water. Whether you're headed to Mill Creek, the Kern, or the Gasconade, we've got the flies, the gear, and the local know-how to help you fish with confidence. If you're looking to sharpen your casting skills, join one of our hands-on clinics. Or if you'd like to craft your own fly rod, build it with us in one of our rod building courses. You're always welcome in our fly tying nights to swap stories, share patterns, and get the latest hatch reports. White Buffalo Fly Shop is more than just a place to gear up. It's a hub for our local community. You'll find us at 605 North Pine Street in Rolla or online at whitebuffaloflyshop.com.
Welcome back to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I'm Bill Cooper. With me today is Dick Parks. He's a land specialist with Living the Dream Outdoor Properties. In the first half of the program, Nick and I just kind of kicked around. We worked together about 8 years ago for an organization on the Missouri-Kansas border, and here we are working together again and Living the Dream Outdoor Properties. And Nick, I tell you, you've grown up a little bit since I saw you last.
I'm getting old, Bill. I'm getting old.
Oh, yeah, all right.
I'm starting to get gray hairs.
Yeah. Well, you're not out of your 20s yet, are you?
No. Oh, yeah. I'll be 32 in about a week and a half.
Oh, still just a pup. Just got married. Life is great. And working for Living Dream Outdoor Properties, from my viewpoint, it looked to me like you got the world by the tail.
Yeah, I try.
Well, I know you're a hardcore bow hunter. Back to the organization that we worked for, the company we worked for was a hunting outfit on the Kansas border. Gosh, about 10,000 acres. And gosh, did deer hunting, turkey hunting, waterfowl hunting was a grand, grand place. But, you know, you've lived this in near or around the Ozarks all of your life. So you've had plenty of hunting opportunities always surrounding you.
Mm-hmm.
But you're kind of a big buck chaser.
Yeah, I am. I try to be, at least. Yeah, I try to be. Yeah, I love hunting whitetails. That's really my thing.
Well, I tell you, they're an intriguing animal. And, of course, we've got all kinds of things going on surrounding whitetails now, you know, with the CWD issues. And I really don't want to get into that too much.
Yeah, me neither, Bill. Like most, you know, I got my own opinions.
Exactly right. That's just it. Everybody's got an opinion. Mm-hmm. But boy, has that ever caused a stir in Missouri and across the country. But
right,
I got to say, I do support our Missouri Department of Conservation, yep, their efforts they're making, because we have one of the lowest prevalence rates. And some people claim they're just slaughtering thousands and thousands of deer. Usually, I think they take out 5,000 or 6,000 a year in specific places, but yet our kill numbers are still over 300,000 a year. So they're doing something right.
Yeah. And I just look at, we're learning, you know,
they're exactly learning. Right.
We're
excellent
learning.
Point.
We're just figuring it out. So that's the way I try to look at it, is we're all learning something here.
Yeah. That's a good point of view. But out and about, looking at real estate, looking at all, now I'm envious. That's part of your job. You're now looking at all those beautiful, beautiful properties that you guys list. And I'm sure you've built a clientele and you've built relationships with a lot of people. But as far as the outdoors and whitetails is going on, you know, I write for Drury's Deercast at GSM Outdoors now, have for several years. And so I've always got deer and turkey on my mind because I'm trying to come up with new article ideas to write about every month. It never seems to be a problem because there's a lot of things to talk about. But I enjoy researching white-tailed deer and turkey, and also talking to all the people like yourself that are interested in chasing whitetails. And it's enormous in this country. It's enormous in the state of Missouri, important to our economy, and I think important to our peace of mind as well.
That's right.
Absolutely. But how long you been bow hunting, Nick?
Oh, see, I'm 32 since I was 13. So,
wow.
Yep.
How old were you when you killed your first archery deer then?
Oh, I was probably 15. Yeah, you know, got a doe. First one was a doe. Yep.
That's incredible. But me, because I didn't get to start hunting deer or turkey either one until I was, gosh, almost 30 years old.
Really?
Yeah. I was born and raised in Missouri Boot Hill. We didn't have deer or turkey either one. And off to college in the military, and I finally came this part of the world as Merrimack Spring Park superintendent. And even there, you know, it takes some time to settle into a new job. And I, back first time I went deer hunting, I guess, was with a rifle. An old guy I went to church with insisted I go deer hunting. You know, brought me an old sporterized 0383, brought it to church, insisted I go deer hunting. And that first year, I waited till very last Sunday of deer season, went out that afternoon just to tell this gentleman I went. I didn't know anything about deer hunting, but I did have a friend that had a magnificent farm on upper Burbus. It was cold weather, and I went down and got on a southern slope to get out of the wind, sit in the sunshine, leaned up against a little oak tree there, and there was a soybean bottom below me, about 200 acres, hadn't been cut yet, and I see a deer walking in this dry bed, and it walks up in the soybean field. It looked like a small elk to me. I didn't even fire this rifle. Yeah. You're going to laugh at me terribly, but shot and missed, of course. A friend of mine killed that buck the next year, scored 182.
Oh, my.
Probably a good thing I didn't kill that buck. You know, that'd be a terrible place to start.
Yeah, you'd get spoiled.
Yeah, no kidding. But archery hunting, you know, is going to close in on us here pretty fast. It starts September the 15th here in the state of Missouri. And, boy, we just have so many opportunities. Are you seeing anybody working on food plots yet?
Oh, yeah. Myself.
I should have known.
Yeah. Yeah. About to put some soybeans in the ground here. Well, you know, we got a lot of rain this week, so just trying to find that right window. Going to drill some beans in and then prepping my other plots and getting them ready for fall planting, doing that as well. Yep.
Absolutely. But soybeans are hard to beat. You know that. And the farm I was just talking about, a poor gentleman, never sought any assistance from the conservation department or anything, but every corner of his bean fields, he'd have a 200-acre bottom of soybeans.
Oh, wow.
Every corner, you know, there'd be an acre or two, looked like he'd run a lawnmower over because of the deer. But, yeah, I killed several deer sitting in those corners on those soybeans. But, you know, there's lots of other things we can plant as well. There's just a whole science behind that anymore. And, of course, I don't have food plots anymore. I don't have any deer that come into my lots. I'm just a half a block in the city limits of Cuba, Missouri. But I can sit on my front porch. And right around the corner, I can see deer out in the county, you know. I keep asking the city cops there if it's okay if I shoot deer from my front porch. I'm just a half a block inside city limits. I haven't got a positive nod on that one yet, you know. But I may have to get permission over there to bow hunt. It'd be so close to home.
Yeah.
You know. But I had a deer friend was up a few weeks ago. He lives up around the St. Joe area, between St. Joe and Kansas City, I guess, quite an outdoorsman, Dr. Rodney Harrison. We spent a week fishing. All we did was fish and eat for a week. You know, it's not a bad lifestyle. He just retired. And supposedly, I was helping him calm down, you know, make the transition between a hard working life into retired life. He seemed to be doing pretty well on his own. But we were on the Merrimack River, smallmouth fishing one day, and had a little bit of luck. Caught one 17-incher. River was dropping. It was tough. But I cooked a lunch right on the gravel bar, and deer got to filtering out the side into a swamp, kind of a back bay there with a lot of tender water vegetation in it. We came up with a deer hunting plan.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're going to be going back camping out on the river in September. So my assignment throughout the summer is finding all these deer trails coming out of this wildlife area and crossing the river. So we'll be back. We'll be camping out. And we'll be setting up some ground blinds, and I'll probably be doing a lot of scouting this summer.
There you go.
His objective is to kill a deer and have backstrap.
Right there on the river?
Right there on the river on the gravel bar. Now, that'd be a pretty good plan.
Yeah.
He does some writing as well for the National Deer Association. He's, man, that'd just make a grand story.
Okay.
So I think he's putting a little pressure on me. Hunting buddies will do that to each other. So have you started flinging a few arrows yet, Nick?
I have, yep. I also I drew a tag this year in Montana, too. So,
oh, my gosh. Yeah,
and that's going to definitely test my limits on range, I feel like. I may have to extend. You know, here where we hunt, I'm really only shooting 20, 30 yards at most. And, you know, I go out to Montana. I go out west. I might have to extend that a little farther. So I'm definitely getting the reps in, shooting the bow.
Oh, man. I remember summer, gosh, it's been 25 years ago or better, I was going to Colorado to elk hunt, San Juan Mountains, and I practiced out to 60 yards. Some guys shoot farther than that, but not this guy. 60 seemed like it was stretching it, but I practiced a lot. I got to where I was putting a pretty tight group in at 60 yards, and my wife and I get out there way off down the mountain, right off the bat, man, we get into a small herd of elk, and kind of a little, I don't know what you'd call it, kind of like a fin. It was damp, had lots of big, tall ferns in it, and elk were moving around. We split up. We actually herded those animals around a little bit. And I had at least a dozen shots at 60 yards or less that I could have taken, but it was 96 degrees. And she finally asked me, why aren't you shooting at those elk? I said, we got a week. Hopefully it'll cool up. I don't want to kill an animal. We're 3 miles down this mountain, and I'm afraid it would actually spoil before we could get out of there.
Oh, yeah.
That was the only shot opportunities I had all week.
Oh, that's how it goes, ain't it?
Yeah. I should have had a mule pack that animal out. But that's the sort of things that we have to think about. But bow season, hey, we're already getting cranked up, getting excited. And, of course, I'm old enough after to use a crossbow anymore. not real fond of them, but they will kill a deer.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But I still keep those shots short. A lot of people like to extend them out because it is a crossbow, but I still like getting that animal in close.
Yeah, that's how I am too. It seems like this day and age, people just keep trying to get farther and farther and farther. And I know there's some guys out there that can do that and they're confident in their setups, but no, not me. I'm kind of like you. 60's my probably going to be my top, and yeah, we'll see though.
Yeah, that's a long, long ways.
It is.
And I was always real careful to get in the bucks with good racks on them. I want to make sure those animals, I mean, I hate to wound any animal and lose it, but it really leaves a sore spot in your stomach, you know, if you wound a big buck and don't recover that animal. Although that's easier today too, because you can get a whole number of tracking services around, man. Mm-hmm. Those guys got dogs that'll find deer in a few minutes. It might take you hours, you know, and now the satellite.
Or the thermals?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Now you got the thermal drones, and that's I'm a big fan of that as far as recovering. I think that's really cool, and I'm really happy with what the state of Missouri did, allowing us to use those too. Exactly. I don't want to see people abuse them, obviously, but I think they're great for recovery.
They really are, and the thing is, NMDC has always, you know, promoted the idea that you make your very best attempt to recover an animal.
Right.
And you and I both, you're old enough to have seen it too, where people really don't make a good attempt to recover an animal. And I had an individual, gosh, 25, 30 years ago, he didn't call me. I was hunting on his place and actually smelled a scrape before I ever saw it. And it was almost big as a pickup hood. Mm-hmm. And it was rifle season, but I sat down near that scrape probably within 75 yards, and I was going to sit there all day long because you know a buck is going to show up at that scrape at some point. And then I caught a bit of an antler and watched it a few minutes and started picking out points and eased my little binoculars up, and I could see a little bit in the back. And man, I was just waiting for this buck to stand up and walk out to that scrape. And then it dawned on me, I hadn't seen it flick an ear or nothing. That buck was dead.
Really?
Yeah, and I went over to it, and it was still warm, but it had been shot really in a hip and come out the stomach. You know, it was a bad shot. But that deer had gone to that scrape and laid down and expired right there. So it was good. So I gutted it out and drug it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Drug it as far as I could, and then I went to the landowner's house. This young guy, it was about 10 o'clock in the morning. He was still in bed, woke him up. I said, hey, I won't call any names. I said, did you go deer hunting yesterday? No. I said, well, I'm glad to hear it. I found a monster 11-pointer that had been shot, I guess, yesterday evening and still warm, died during the night. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you. Oh no, I did go for about 15 minutes yesterday evening. And this guy, I mean, had a big, beautiful chunk of land, but he was so tight he wouldn't buy decent deer rifle. He had an old Russian rifle of some type, no scope on it.
Oh.
And he had climbed up a stand, one of the old AMAC or original climbing stands, and he had tied his rifle to the stand. So going up the tree, he's making all kinds of noise. And, well, he didn't untie his rifle. He just sat on it. Mm-hmm. He said, I've been there about 15 minutes, looked up, over top of the hill come this big buck. And I jumped up trying to untie my rifle, and I banged it on the stand and spooked the deer. He went running over the top, so I just shot at him. I said, did you go check for blood? No, I just knew I missed him. You know? Well, he didn't miss it. And I hate to hear stories like that, but we did recover the buck, but he didn't let me keep it.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask. I figured he took it.
No, he took it and tagged it. It was all good. I'm just glad I found that, that deer. But, yeah.
Good thing you were there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would have been a coyote dinner real soon, a big, beautiful rack on. He had it mounted and everything.
Really?
I said, I should get half the mount.
Didn't even look for it.
No, didn't even look for it. Fortunately, I don't hear those stories a lot, but they do happen.
Yeah.
You do have a ethical responsibility. If you shoot in an animal at all, deer, turkey, duck, whatever, you've got an ethical and a legal obligation to go check those.
A lot of times I think it's education, though, too, or or inexperienced, somebody that's maybe newer to the outdoors, and they finally do take a crack at something, and they just don't know how to investigate the scene properly or how the animal reacted, and they just kind of scrub it off and keep going instead of, you know, taking an extra 5-10 minutes to really look around.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the 5 or 10 minutes you mentioned is a very short period of time. Mm-hmm. How much time have you already invested in practice for? You got food plots, hunting public, you know, traveling, whatever. You got a lot of time invested. That few minutes is nil when it's compared to the time you've already got invested.
I couldn't imagine starting over again and like just being by myself and trying to get into the outdoors and then shooting something and then having to track it on my own. I see that. I've actually seen guys that got into the outdoors really struggle recovering deer just because they haven't had somebody teach them. Exactly. Or been with somebody who is good at tracking.
Exactly.
And who's slow and looks and just, well, how'd the animal react? What was the position? Like, and asking all those questions where it seems like new and experienced people, they're just like scanning, nothing, they're done.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. And you know, there's just, this day and time, there's really no excuse for that because there's plenty of clubs that you can join. There's plenty. If you get on social media and say, hey, I need help, how many people would respond to help? There would be lots of them that would help an individual out. And plus, YouTube videos, all the how-to is there.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of guys love shooting these little YouTube videos, you know.
Yeah.
And, of course, everybody's an expert.
Yeah, that's right.
So you kind of have to sort through them. But, hey, look at the end result. If a guy's, you know, got a bad shot on a deer and he's trying to figure out how to track it, how long to wait and all that sort of thing, you can pick up some really good information. Again, I'll plug DeerCast again, and there are other apps out there other than DeerCast, but I just happen to be the one that I write for. But just a world of information out there. The Drury boys worked for decades to put that all together. You got close to 100 years of deer hunting experience thrown in, and you can look, man, you got mapping features. They even got a food plot feature. They even got a past agriculture feature. You can look at a particular field and tell you what's been planted there over the last several years.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, on and on and on. Weather, and of course, I love it. I check it almost every day of the world. First thing I check early in the morning, look at DeerCast. And, of course, it's got the weather reports and tell you what the weather's going to be today, rain, whatever. And it also rates how they think, according to the algorithms from decades of recordings, what deer hunting might be on any given day, what it might be like, whether it's good, fair, poor. And, of course, I think any day I have the time to go is good.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, Nick, you're quite a bow hunter and been successful. Here we are, you know, and getting into late June here. We're in the heat of summer and we're getting ready for bow season.
Yeah. Yeah.
What advice would you give those young guys? What do you need to be doing now?
Besides shooting, you know, just walking your land, figuring it out. If you are planting, definitely start. And you haven't prepared yet, really be thinking about that because that comes up so fast. August, if you're planting fall food plots, August comes. You really got to watch that rain too. So keep an eye on the weather. And yeah, just prep if you're into that food plotting, you know, which I am. So yeah. And then, yeah, just get out there. Walk. It's summer. Don't worry about anything. Get out there. Scan your property. You know, check the timber. Look for acorns that are growing. Just little things like that, I think, help people out. Yeah.
Oh, it really does. It makes up the difference. An old-timer used to tell me, death is in the details.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I mean, right now, I mean, squirrel season just opened not too long ago.
Great point, so, man.
And I was just out with Hunter. We went squirrel hunting the other day.
That's awesome.
And I hadn't been in a while, and I was just sitting there thinking, I was like, you know, I need to get up more mornings and do this, and this is gonna help me for deer later on, too, you know? Because where there's squirrels, there's deer. So.
Absolutely. And thing is, you've got to have a little bit of woodsmanship skills to slip up on those squirrels.
That's right.
Same thing. You got to have some woodsmanship skills to discover where those deer are. And whether you're sitting in that ground blind or up in that climbing tree stand or ladder stand or whatever, still a lot of skills that have to come into play.
Yeah.
But boy, does it ever feel good when everything comes together, the stars align, and you arrow that buck or doe, mm-hmm. and and find that animal and be able to put it on a dinner table for you and your family.
Yeah.
Man, that's just a great, great sense of satisfaction, particularly when you put in the hard work. You've stayed at it for months,
mm-hmm.
and then it all comes together.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just prepare, you know, and get out there. Now's a good time. Check your stands, check your straps, make sure everything's safe.
Absolutely.
Change your pull out ropes, you know, cause they get corroded. You start pulling up your bow or your gun, that thing snaps. I've seen that happen. I know a handful of guys that don't check their straps on their stands.
And oh, wow.
They get up there and then something's loose or it snaps. You know, yeah. I've seen that happen. So,
well, we hear of a few accidents every year involving tree stands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not worth. And I still run across the occasional person that doesn't wear their safety harness. You know, mm-hmm. And I've had two very close outdoor rider friends. Both their accidents happened probably 15 years ago. One fell about 30 feet.
Oh, wow.
Broke him up pretty badly. He was out of work about a year and a half. Another one was a Air Force veteran. He was a combat pilot in Vietnam, was actually shot down, survived all that, came home, lived in Western Missouri, and hog farmer, and great guy, great outdoor rider, sitting in a 12-foot ladder stand. Of course, he's older, went to sleep and rolled out.
Oh, no.
Injured himself pretty badly. Both survived.
Yeah.
But I bet they wear their harnesses now.
Yeah, yeah.
And should have done it then. And I really kind of chewed on both of them because they both had written articles about safety and wearing your harnesses.
Really?
And then they skipped it once.
Huh.
That's when it'll get you.
Yeah. What changed my mind was... So about a decade ago, I worked down at Bass Pro Shops in Springfield, Missouri.
Yeah.
I worked at the archery counter. I was a sales associate. So I had the whole hunting hall to look over. Well, there was somebody who was in a wheelchair in the safety harness aisle, and they were looking at safety harnesses and stuff. And then I asked, like, hey, what happened? And they're like, I fell out of a tree.
Oh, my god!
And they were in a wheelchair. Luckily, they were going to get out of the wheelchair eventually, but that just... like opened my eyes, like, wow, that could be you, you know?
Yeah, it can happen to anybody.
Yeah, and I grew up, like I said, I started bow hunting as a teenager. Me and my buddies, when we hung stands, we had no safety, you know? And
yeah, we all started that way.
Right, yeah, and I was hugging the tree, you know, just strapping everything, and then I look back, I'm like, it could have... something terrible could have really happened. So I don't go up anymore without being tied off.
Oh, absolutely. You need to do that just like clicking that seatbelt when you get in a vehicle. But yeah, I learned a lesson. It didn't happen to me, but when I first started bow hunting, I'm just climbing trees and sitting on limbs, you know. But I had a friend who in his 60s, about 63 or 64, was hunting on a wildlife here. Woodson K Woods, not too far from here.
Mm-hmm.
And he had took off bow hunting, didn't tell anybody where he was going, went way back in the woods. And he was just climbing trees like that and either sat or stepped on a limb that broke. He's about 15 feet up and he fell that 15 feet. He said he turned his head sideways because he was going head down.
Mm-hmm.
And his chest hit the ground first and his feet came over his back and hit the ground by his head.
Oh, no.
Broke him up badly. He crawled for 2 or 3 miles. Yeah. And almost lost his life.
Wow.
You know? And that was my first experience with a fall out of a tree while doing it. That scared me so badly, I started hooking up
mm-hmm.
very quickly and been just religious about wearing those safety harnesses.
Yeah, I'm always tied off now. I've been I kind of got into saddle hunting the last few years, so I'm always tied off now.
Well, you need to be because now you're a married man.
Yeah,
got other people to think about. Of course, you had family before, but it's a new ball game now. And if you get in a place where lots of guys out there, they got young families,
mm-hmm.
they're dependent on dad for support, and plus, you know. Everybody wants to live to see their children grow up.
Yeah.
Want to see those grandkids. But you need to pass on that heritage, teach them as well mm-hmm. to be safe out there in the outdoors. Well, Nick, man, we could talk outdoors forever, I think. But, hey, it's been a great program. Good to have you on, man. And don't be a stranger. I know where you are now.
Yeah, you just come in the office.
Right here in the Living Dream Outdoor Properties office, just about 10 minutes away from me. So you'll be easy to catch. So
yeah.
Probably lean on you more often than you might like. You know?
Thanks, Bill.
That way, you bet. Keep your thinking cap on. Always have something to talk about. Well, Nick, if anybody would want to get a hold of you here at Living the Dream Outdoor Properties to talk properties, how would they get a hold of you?
Yeah, you could either call the office or you can call my cell phone, 314-640-2868. And if you have any questions about real estate or really hunting or land in general, give me a call. I love to talk about it.
Absolutely. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed the program. And Nick Parks and myself, Bill Cooper, we're living our outdoor dreams. We encourage you to get into the outdoors and live your dreams as well.
People love a good mustache. People also love a good firearm. The fine people down at Pond Center like both. They have the largest selections of firearms in the area, and with a friendly, knowledgeable staff of hombres to help you pick the gun that's right for you, you could end up riding into the sunset with a gun you love. Find them at pc72guns.com, on shelf, in store, online, or give them a call at 573-426-GUNS. That's Pond Center. Guns welcome. Mustache appreciated.
Captain Brian Wilson runs one of the tightest bow fishing operations in the business. Stainwater Bow Fishing operates out of Jerome, Missouri, and the beautiful Missouri Ozarks. They cover most Ozark streams and lakes. You haven't lived until you've searched Ozark waters during the night with Stainwater Bow Fishing while looking for giant gar, carp, and buffalo. Captain Wilson also runs a second boat on Taneycomo Lake. Call today to book a trip with Stainwater Bow Fishing at 573-263-8016. Again, that's 573-263-8016. Be sure and shoot straight.
The Living the Dream Outdoors podcast is brought to you by Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, The Fly Rod Journals, SmokerBuilder.com, Cowtown USA, Westover Farms, Scenic Rivers Taxidermy, Stained Water Bow Fishing, Scenic Rivers Guide Service and Tours, Huzzah Valley Resort, Devil's Backbone Outfitters, J&J Charters, Kaufman Cove, Alaska, Bean Creek Game Calls, Misty Mountain Guide Service, ASO Guides and Outfitters with Ryan Walker, The Rambling Angler, and Rich's Famous Burgers.
Land ownership is the American dream. Land is the basis of all life. Our wise use of this most precious of resources ensures the survival and growth of free institutions and our American way of life. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we value the traditions and freedoms that land provides us. Every day we seek the solace of a mountain sunrise over traffic jams and smog, the calming silence of a bubbling stream over the sirens of the city, and the quiet of the countryside over the hustle and bustle of the world. We hunt, we fish, we farm. We live off the land. It's our mission to help our clients live out their dreams on the land as we do. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we believe that it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. Join us 5 days a week on Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast as the Living the Dream Outdoor Dream Team explores the most desired outdoor properties in the Midwest and whisks you away to incredible hunting, fishing, and outdoor recreation opportunities. Host Bill Cooper, an inductee of the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, will be joined by members of the Living the Dream Outdoors team each week as they tell tall tales, unveil tips and tactics, and rub elbows with some of the biggest names in the outdoor world. You'll also find the Living the Dream Outdoors podcast on your favorite social media platforms, including Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.